It is 6 months to the day that the Rio Olympic Games will be underway. 6 months. That time will absolutely fly. Everybody knows that. And whether you're cynical about Olympic Games and corruption and drugs and all the stories that occupy our time up and in between Olympiads, once it gets there, hopefully all of that gets suspended and we can just revel in the athletic achievements of the clean athletes over there and the deeds that are likely to be done. And they're going to be spectacular. There'll be so many of them. And Gian Rooney, who's a great friend of everybody here at 11:16 SEN, back in Brisbane, of course, reading the news up there for Channel 7, knows what it's like to prepare and go to and succeed at an Olympic Games. And she's been good enough to join us. Hello, Gian.
How are you, Andy? Lovely man.
I'm going very, very nice. How are you going, more than? We miss you down in this neck of the woods.
Oh, look, you know, I'm really lucky, actually, that I get to dip my toe in and out. I've just been at Australian Open for 16 days as part of the 7 team down there. So I've been in Melbourne. I get to enjoy it. But then it's amazing for me being back in Queensland, which is where I grew up, where my parents are. So it ticks a lot of boxes in terms of that, helping out with my little boy. And, you know, it's also sports mania, as you just mentioned, with 6 months out to Rio. So in terms of all of that, it couldn't have been a better move for our little family. And the timing was right, and we're thoroughly enjoying it. But I get to come down to Melbourne quite often. I don't feel like I'm missing out.
Well, we feel like we're missing out because you're not here all the time. But it's great. I mean, just the pull of the family, the pull of the family when you start having kids of your own. That must have been a profoundly important thing for you in particular, I imagine.
Absolutely. Like everyone says, once you have children, your whole perspective changes, and you can't really put yourself in that position until you actually are there. And we had no family in Melbourne, so we were doing it quite tough, and both myself and my husband travelled for work. Yeah. And on top of that, you know, my parents are on the Gold Coast, their first and only grandchild for them at the moment, desperate to help out, very supportive. And I had a cracking childhood growing up on the Gold Coast. Yeah. I had a really great, you know, we're always outdoors, never inside, very active. You try your hand at all different types of sports and pursuits. So in terms of that, we're very fortunate that so far it's been a brilliant move.
Is it still the same place that you remember as a kid, Gian? Has it changed that much?
It's completely different, Andy, to be honest. And you know what? It's grown up in a great way. Of course, Melbourne is the arts coffee culture of Australia. I have no qualms about that. And I really loved that. I was in Melbourne for 13 years, so I loved that component. And I was quite worried about going back that I wouldn't have that on the Gold Coast. When I left, it was far more geared towards tourists rather than locals. And now they realise that they've got such a huge local population and everyone loves their food and their coffee and all the rest of it. So it's grown up and matured in great ways for us. But then, you know, weather and beaches and my husband gets up and goes for a stand-up paddleboard every morning. It's kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's a great lifestyle.
it goes okay.
It goes all right, yeah.
6 months away, Gian, you know what it's like. The preparation, the hard work for everybody who's going or hopes to go, you know, it's pretty much done. I mean, there might be a couple of qualifying times that need to be gotten. There's going to be anxiety levels, you know, associated with that. Mm. But the bulk of the hard work's done by now, whether you're going to qualify or not. What are the anxiety levels? When do they start kicking in for people who are going to go to an Olympic Games?
Look, it's a great question because, as you said, every sport is different how they qualify for an Olympics. I think the really lucky thing about swimming is that it's really black and white. We have a really non-political selection process. So for the swimmers, they have their Australian titles, which double as Olympic selection trials in April in Adelaide. Yep. And it is as simple as you hit the wall in first and second position in an individual event, and you've made the A qualifying time, you're going to Rio. Mm. Very, very simple, very black and white, no grey area. So in terms of that, these guys are all working towards April at this stage. We're over in Perth at the moment for a super series, which is its fourth year running, and it's between Australia, Japan and China. So they've got some great international racing. They'll all be in hard work, so they're all training throughout this competition. But this is a great way to actually fine-tune any of your race plans before it really counts. It's also a great way to get a bit of a mental edge over some of your closest rivals, that if you can swim fast times in hard work, well, then what can you do once you're fully tapered and you know, the occasion is there? So in terms of that, there's a lot of different processes. The pressure, I think, for those athletes that there's two athletes that deal with Olympic pressure. One, it's a bonus that they've got there. So they're just going to soak it up, enjoy it, and don't really properly, I think, comprehend the enormity of the situation. And they usually do really well. And then you've got other athletes who have been working towards this their whole life. They're at the peak of their sporting prowess. They know that they've only got this every 4 years, so they might not be at that peak come another 4 years. So they've got one shot at it. And the pressure can go either way. Some people rise to the challenge. Others completely are overwhelmed with the situation.
Live on 7.2, you can see that Perth Super Series on the weekend. Gian, how hard is it? You're asking a really finely tuned athlete, in this case swimmers, to sort of double peak. You need to get this time in April, so that's a real target that they've got to get. I guess a lot of them know that, the really good ones know that they're probably going to be able to get that target, I suspect, you know, at something less than 100%.
Yes.
But then it's only another couple of months later that you've got to come again. And I imagine asking people to have these two peak moments in such quick succession off the back of one another, is that difficult, or is that an easy thing for an elite swimmer to achieve?
I think the great news about it, the positive is that we do this every year. So swimmers know they've got two major competitions of the year that they need to peak for. The other thing is, while a lot of the big guys know that, yes, they should make the team, and a lot of them are talking about Rio as if they're already going, we also have such incredibly strong domestic competition that it only takes you, especially in a sprint event, for you to be a couple of percentage off your game and you get beaten.
Yep.
You know, you look in for the likes of the Campbell sisters, you know, older sister Kate got overtaken by younger sister Bronte at World Championships last year in the 100 free and the 50 free. So you've also got to remember that these are national titles. So there's still an Australian title on the line. So athletes are very attuned at these two taper periods, and they are set out at enough time apart to make sure that there is time to go back into hard training before you taper again for the major meet of the year.
Okay.
Always held at around the same time apart. But, you know, different countries do it around the world and have different ways that it works, and they have different selection processes. But the Aussie guys know they've got two meets to hit every year, the Australian titles and the major meet of the year.
Gee, it's big. It's big, isn't it? When you think about
no pressure.
Oh, God, it's just the way you lay it out there. It's easy to get an impression of the sort of the sort of pressure that's coming with that. Hey, Gian, I know you've always been a glass half full person, right? So that's a given. But we know what happened with the Russian track and field team, and we know where they're sitting at the moment. And I was reading a story out of Canada yesterday. Becky Scott, who was a gold medalist in 2002 Winter Olympics for Canada, she's now the chairperson for the WADA Athletic Committee, and she was on the review committee. She's a member of that declared Russia non-compliant, so she had to make that call. She did this interview in Canada, and she's saying, basically, I won't read out her quotes, but she's saying, look, it's she's so gutted that the world has not done enough to rid sport of drug cheats, that they're getting more sophisticated. And there's too many international bodies around the place. She's clearly talking about Russia here.
Russia.
that have just said, okay, we're just going to let this keep going and hopefully we won't get caught and hopefully we'll get away with it.
Yeah.
Where do you sit on this? I mean, as I said, you're a glass half full person, but do you have still rampant suspicions that there's going to be a lot of people in Rio who just are not clean?
This is, as you said, I've got almost two views on this subject, Andy. So I'll start with the negative. The negative is that the problem with a lot of these nations, and I am, you know, specifically talking about Russia and some others in that part of the world, in the fact that they've got their own governing body, like we have ASADA here in Australia.
Yep, yep.
They have their own country's, doping authority. And it means that it's almost a stopgap between WADA as World Anti-Doping and the international governing body of those particular sports. So for swimming and aquatics, it's FINA. Yep. So they all have their own independent drug testing authorities. But if the country almost gets their athlete first, we're seeing this process of, if they catch them first, then they give them a 3-month ban or a 6-month ban that shows you know, shows the rest of the world, oh, we're disciplining our athletes, but it was an accident that it was in their system, or it was in a supplement, or it was, you know, it was tainted, da-da-da. So we don't believe it's deserving of the full two-year ban, which is the international standard if they get caught by WADA or their governing international governing body. So we'll give them this small ban, which means they're still capable to compete at the major meet of the year or in time for an Olympics. But, you know, it was a mistake. So it was an accident. So it's not a big deal. So we'll just, you can have 3 months and then you're back into it. So I hate the way that this is going. Oh, I feel sorry. It's an absolute farce. It's so disappointing for so many athletes. Like, I think I was actually reading about one of our long jumpers, Bronwyn Thompson, and I think it, whether it was Athens or something, she got fourth behind three Russians. You've seen careers completely altered due to these facts. I'm going to put a positive spin. As you said, I like to think that I'm a glass half full. Certainly when I was swimming, I knew, you know, I had suspicions about certain athletes, and I certainly, while I hated that, I fully believe that drug cheats are beatable, because yes, their physical performance might be enhanced, but they still have to deal with nerves. They still have to deal with the pressure of particularly in Olympics, as we're saying, is every 4 years. They still have the ability to get sick and injured, just like every other athlete. And for me, they also have to deal with the knowledge that they have drugs in their system. And for some, surely that would have to be a negative impact on their performance by the pressure and the nerves going, am I going to get caught with mandatory drug tests that I have after I win this medal? So I'm going to say they are beatable. I don't believe that they're completely invincible. But I really hope that this whole Russian saga is a massive wake-up call to, you know, world anti-doping, going, we have to be, for the clean athlete's sake, that dedicate their lives to these sports and are missing out on accolades that they thoroughly deserve. I only hope that we get better at testing and better at uncovering these schemes much earlier in the process.
I think everybody would say hallelujah to that and hope that everybody's committed to doing it. Have a great time on the weekend. The Perth Super Series live on 7.2. You're going to be front and centre covering that.
About something else?
Yeah, go on.
Have I got 5 seconds?
Yeah, you have.
Like, I'm very, very lucky because I get to do other sports as well, Andy. And recently I actually went over to Jamaica to interview Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Do we have 5 seconds?
Yeah, of course you do.
Usain Bolt. So, I mean, let's say probably one of the most recognisable, greatest athletes on the planet.
Well, perhaps the greatest of all time. I mean, he might be the greatest of all time.
Can you imagine going to an Olympics and you've every event you've ever competed in at an Olympics, you've won gold?
No, I can't imagine that. No,
it's crazy, isn't it? So he was over there. We were over there. He's the face of the Optus Network. So it's the first time he's ever signed a contract with an Australian company. So just extraordinary, absolutely huge. And we're over there chatting to him about Rio, what his pressure is like. We're at his home track that's named after him. Right next door is the grass track where he trained on until he won his first world championship. Jamaicans are just, they're in awe by this guy, but they also let him be. It's this bizarre kind of process. And, you know, so that's kind of the last access that we will kind of have to Usain Bolt before Rio.
Where can we see, can we get access to this interview anywhere?
This is incredible. So he will be fronting a whole lot of Optus TV campaigns. There'll be online component as well, social media component. And they've actually spoken to his family, his, you know, his teammates, all the rest of it, to get a real insight into Usain Bolt. So he's out there and he's just incredible. Like, he's just, for someone who's achieved so much, still after that, you know, relentless drive for improvement that is across his whole being. And he's just a cool cat. Yeah. He's just a cool cat. So this great opportunity, as I said, check it out, in the fact that Optus will be screening TV adverts online, social media. You know,
I don't think it'll be too hard to find. When it's out, I reckon it's going to be fairly easy to find.
Yeah. So in terms of 6 months to go to Rio, I'm like buzzing out of my skin with all these exciting athletes and performances that we're just going to see, which only comes around in Olympic year.
You relish the deeds. And it's important, I think, on behalf of all of us as lovers of sport to focus in on those who are going and hoping to achieve their very, very best for their nations in the lead up to it. John, you know what it's all like. You know what it's like. You were lucky enough to win multiple Olympic game medals, and one of them, of course, being that sparkling gold one. So it's a joy to hear your voice. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Andy. Really appreciate it. 6 months to Rio. Let's go, Aussie.